This evening, I would like to actually continue where I left off last time, 2 weeks ago. And we were speaking about the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is life. It's amazing if you start to study the Word of God and you start to realize that the Word of God is not just logos. It's not just written on white with black ink. It's far more than that. It contains life. You know, if you turn with me, it's not on the slide, so don't worry. But if you turn with me to John chapter 1, from verse 1, I hope you still bring your Bibles. I know these slides make you very lazy. But you should actually bring your Bible with. John chapter 1, verse 1, says the following. It's so amazing. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend, overcome, overwhelm, control it." Isn't that amazing that the Word of God is not just God, it is life. It is the life of men. Everything that came into existence through the Word of God. It is the beginning and the end of life. It is the creating and the sustaining power of God that became flesh and dwelled amongst us. And as we are here around the Word of God, we can experience the truth. And that truth that is contained within the Word of God has the power to change us and the power to set us free. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the fact that the Word of God has the power to change us. Tonight, I want to talk about the fact that the Word of God has the power to change, to set us free. Okay, so that's where I'm going with tonight. But before I continue, I forgot something. Oh, yeah, I'm stuck to this thing. Let me just first get this on here. There we go, that's much better. Yeah. Okay. Right. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Word's ability to change us. That it is alive and powerful, discerning between the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Scripture declares like a mirror that we see ourselves in relation to the truth. And as we observe ourselves in relation to the truth, we are challenged with the discrepancy and that we are meant to conform to this truth. The Bible declares that we should not only be hearers, but doers of the Word, lest we deceive ourselves. Because we are meant to conform to the truth. And as we apply this truth in our lives, the Holy Spirit then comes to change us. But this week, I want to talk about the fact that the Word has the ability to set us free. You know, last week, Pastor Sia shared very powerfully on the fact that we need to receive Jesus. And how you receive Him will determine how He lives in you. If you do not receive Him as a healer, you will not be healed. But the moment you receive Him as a healer, He will heal. And I want to continue on that concept, on the fact that the Word of God has the ability to set you free. You know, in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. Oh, we've got it there. Can you read that? Must we make it bigger? Can everybody read that? Okay, cool. John 8, verse 31 to 32 says the following. "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.'" Yeah, let's get this thing ready. Okay, so as young Christians, you know, there's something amazing that happens. The moment we come to Jesus, we come to receive Him as our Lord and our Savior. And we receive His sacrifice on the cross and what the Word of God says concerning that sacrifice. And we put our faith in that. That Jesus died for us on the cross and that His blood is sufficient to cleanse us of all our sins. Because God says so. Not because man says so, but because God says His blood is sufficient. We put our faith in what God says about the sacrifice of His Son and the blood of His Son. And because of our faith in the Word of God, you know what? We receive that forgiveness. Is that true? Have you experienced that? Isn't that amazing when you come before God with your sin and your shame and your guilt and you surrender your life to Him in faith and then all of a sudden you experience the forgiveness of God. You experience the liberating freedom from the shame and the guilt and the consequence of that sin because of your faith in the Word of God. But you know what is so powerful? Something that we realize as young Christians, as we've come to God and we have now confessed all the things that we have done wrong in our past, as we bring ourselves before God and humble ourselves before God and say, God, I'm a sinner, I'm guilty before you. And we bring those sins before God and we experience that forgiveness. Very soon afterwards, even though we have asked forgiveness for certain things, and even though we do no longer want to continue in those things, it still manifests. And then all of a sudden, we discover as young Christians, it's not just forgiveness that I need deliverance. There's something wrong in me. Even though I've been forgiven of the lust and the stealing and the lying, even though I do not want to do it, for some or other reason, it still manifests in me. And then I realized, listen here, but I need more than just forgiveness. I need deliverance. There's something in me that is wrong, that needs to be changed, needs to be set free. Now, you know what? There's good news. Jesus came not only to forgive us from the things that we've done, but to set us free from the power of sin that used to control us. Have you heard that before? That's great news. So I want to share that with you this evening. Grace does not just speak of the fact that you've been forgiven from your sins. It speaks of the fact that you've been set free from the power of sin in your life. Because we used to be in Adam, controlled by our sinful desire in the flesh, and we couldn't get free because we were stuck. You know? You were stuck to something, and even though you tried to get free, you couldn't get free because you were controlled. You were bound to that flesh, that sinful nature. Now, Jesus came not just to set you, to forgive you for the things that you did because you were stuck there. He also came to set you free from what you were stuck to. So grace does not just speak about forgiveness. It speaks about freedom. Because it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. It doesn't help. God just deals with the symptoms of our problem. Because that is what sin is. Sin is just a manifestation of the sinful nature in me. That's all it is. And Jesus died to deal with the things that I have done, which consequence will be death. But he also came to deal with this thing in me that controlled me to do that. Because that's all that sin is. It is the manifestation of that sinful nature within me. And that manifestation is called sin. And Jesus did not just come to deal with the symptoms. He came to deal with the root. And that's what I want to share with you this evening. In one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Paul starts with a couple of questions. And all of them is leading to this pivotal question. And this pivotal question is simply this: do you not know? Do you not realize? Do you not know that you are free from sin? And he writes to Christians and he asks them this pivotal question: do you not know? Do you not realize? Do you not understand that you are free from sin? You see, the church in Rome was still trapped in error, a wrong mindset or a belief. And you know, a wrong mindset and belief, an error, manifests in the natural through actions. An error works the same way as truth, you know. It needs to be applied through faith. It's amazing. What you believe, that will manifest in your life. If you notice that. I mean, I've told this story before, but when I was in matric, one of my friends, I was in the first team hockey, and he was in the first team rugby. Nothing to do with rugby boys, but nevertheless, there's some big boys here, so I'll be careful. All the way from Bloom, eh? Hmm? We always keep on bumping into each other. But anyway, you must stop doing that. But anyway. He was afraid of the dark. He was 17 years old, and he was afraid of the dark. When he came to visit me at night, I had to walk him home. Because he was afraid of the dark. He really believed that there was something out there that's going to get him. And that manifested in his actions. It influenced the way he acted to the point that I had to walk him home. I always just went halfway because I thought it was ridiculous. But he really believed. You know, fear works the same way as faith. It's being sure of what you hope for, or fear, and being confident of what is unseen. And you make it real because of that faith. You know, so faith in whatever error you believe will also manifest in your life. Whether it's a half-truth or deception, if you believe it, you know what? It will manifest in your life. And Paul writes to the church, the Christians in Rome, and he says, listen here, you're in error. Because many of them were still living in sin. Some of them were still trapped in habitual sin, and others misunderstood grace, and they continued in sin because they had a warped understanding of what grace is. So Paul counters this error through the truth. He proclaims the truth, and this is how he does do it. I want us to continue here in Romans 6 from verse 1. Man, I wish they didn't have chapters, but anyway. You must please go read Romans as it's meant to be read, as a letter, in the whole. Don't just read chapter by chapter. You know, do yourself a favor from time to time and read the entire book. Read it in context. Romans is such a powerful book, as it is in its chapters. But you know what? If you start reading in its entirety, it's a completely different story. But anyway, I'm just going to do this one chapter. It says here in chapter 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abide? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Do you not realize? Do you not understand that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And I just want to pause here for a moment. He says, do you not know, do you not realize that you are free from sin? Because you were crucified with Christ. And you were buried with him. You know, he reveals the truth. You know, we've all heard the fact that we've been crucified with Christ. Have you heard that before? Now, Paul starts to explain this mystery. You know, the moment you get saved, you used to be in Adam. Then, through this miracle of God, by his grace, you are made a new creation. You've heard of that before? Behold, all things are new. The old is gone. For if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old is gone. Because what happens to salvation is you become where you used to be in Adam, controlled by your flesh and your sinful nature. You are born again. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, most assuredly I tell you, you must be born again. Because whatever is flesh, whatever is born of flesh, is flesh. But whatever is born of the Spirit, is Spirit. Therefore you must be born again. You must move from this place where you're in Adam, controlled by your sinful nature. You must be born again to become a new creation in Christ so that you can be controlled by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Because whatever is flesh cannot come into the kingdom of God. So you must be born again. And this is this whole process of moving from this one place where we're trapped in Adam in our sinful nature, and we have been renewed. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Now that process goes the same. You know, that's why Jesus came into the world. That's why, for instance, I don't want to go off and get too theological on you. But you know, that's why Jesus was born of a virgin. You ever wondered why that was necessary? Because he didn't come through that same line as Adam. He was born perfect into this world. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then he made a way. You see, humanity was trapped. Humanity was trapped because of sin, and we were going in one way. That one way was leading to hell. But God's mercy and love for us sent his Son, who was pure and spotless, to make a new way for us. Gave man an option. Listen, you're going to hell, but you have a choice. You can be saved. You can be redeemed again. You can be restored. That choice is Christ. So we need to choose. But we need to follow the same way. That's why we need to follow Christ's way. Follow Christ's way was simple. Christ had to die. He was buried and was raised. That's what Romans all talks about. The fact that we were crucified with him. We were buried with him and we were raised with him to new life. We follow the same pattern spiritually. Don't worry. Not physically. But that's the mystery. Now Paul talks about this. He says, listen, do you not realize, do you not understand that you were crucified with Christ? That you were buried with him? And the reason you were crucified with him and buried with him is so that that old man could be done away with. The old man that was controlled by the sinful desire, the sinful nature of the flesh, it can be done away with. So now Paul starts to speak to these Christians who are still living in sin. And he says to them, do you not know, do you not realize that you were crucified with Christ so that you can be free from sin? Okay. So in the same way, he says, that Christ was raised to new life, we should also walk in the newness of life, free from sin. Sorry, man, this thing is very annoying. I don't know if you can see it, but it's actually tied to something. And I can't actually get free from what it's tied to. You know, it's almost like that ad. What's that ad of that umbilical cord? What car ad is that? Peugeot. Have you seen that? Who's seen that ad before, those people with the umbilical cords? Huh? It's quite cute, eh? It's almost like that. It's stuck to something. Anyway, we'll get to that later. For if we've been united, verse 5, for if we've been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he has died, has been freed from sin. You see how Paul starts to explain the truth. He says, listen, don't you realize that you've been crucified with Christ so that your old man, that sinful nature, can be done away with. And you are dead to that. You are now alive in Christ. And the purpose for that whole process is so that you can be free. You can be free from sin. The reason we are crucified with Christ is so that we can be free. Do you know how they train elephants? I know it's a bit bizarre, but you know what they do with the elephant in India when he's still very young? They take the young elephant and they tie a rope around his leg. And they tie the rope to a peg in the ground, a very long, deep peg. And then they leave the little elephant there for hours and days on end. And that little young elephant will do everything in its power to get free. It will struggle day in and day out to get free from this rope that's tied to the peg. And then at some point, the elephant realizes, when there's a rope around my leg, I'm stuck. And that, you know, they say elephant never forgets. Have you seen a grown-up elephant in India? They tie a rope around his leg and they put it in a peg this deep. You know what the elephant does? It stands still. Some elephants have ropes around their leg and there's not even a peg. And the elephant will stand still because it knows through experience that if there's a rope around my leg, I cannot move. So many elephants, you will see, if they want to pull up the handbrake, they put the rope around the ankle and they just throw the rope there and the elephant stands still. Because it believes it cannot be free. Because it's tried unsuccessfully. And it's learned that because of the rope that's tied to the peg, I cannot be free. He doesn't even try to walk free. Because he does not know. He does not know that the peg is no longer there. You know, the strong, massive, powerful elephant does not know that the peg is no longer there. Because of experience and a wrong belief, he is still trapped in what he thinks is captivity. And even though he's so strong that no matter what peg you put in the ground, he'll pull it out, he believes when there's a rope around my ankle, I cannot move. That's how you train elephants. Paul says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. You know, because of the elephant's belief system and experience that says that there's a rope tied to his leg, he does not and he cannot move. Because that's what he believes. Because he does not know. This grown-up elephant does not know that the peg is no longer there. But he still believes that he's trapped. The baby elephant has learned in his past that shaped his belief. And now this error in belief limits this awesome, powerful creature that could have been so easily free. But he still believes that he's trapped. Now it's interesting if we read that again. It says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to ask you a question. That grown-up elephant with the rope around his ankle, is he free or not? That grown-up elephant with a rope around his leg that's tied to nothing, is he free or not? You know, it's interesting. This process of application of the word that sets us free. If you read here very carefully, Paul starts here in verse 8. He says, now if we died with Christ. In other words, he works from the premise that everything that he shared now, that listen here, if it is true that we have been crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be done away with, if we accept that, and that's where we start off, accepting what the word says. The word of God says, listen here, your old self was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be done away with. If you accept that, that is the first point, the starting premise, accepting the truth. Then it says, we believe. This is the first step of the application of the truth. He says, okay, if we accept that we have been crucified with Christ so that our old self can be done away with, if we accept that, then we need to believe. You need to believe it. Once you've accepted the truth, you need to believe it in your heart. Okay? Does it make sense? He says, then we believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Then comes the second phase. Now that we accept the truth and we believe the truth, now we need to have that faith from my heart needs to move to my mind. It says, likewise, in the same way, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Faith needs to move from my heart to my mind. Once I've accepted the truth, once I believe it into my heart, it needs to go here. And after it's moved from my heart to my mind, the next stage is the application of it. Therefore, it continues. It says, after accepting the truth through faith in our hearts and the reason in our minds, the next step is action. It says, therefore. I love that word. Therefore. In other words, having looked at everything in the past that we have just spoken about, therefore, the application, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Paul writes to Christians who are still trapped in sin, who cannot get free, who misunderstands grace and continues in it. And Paul says, do you not know? Do you not realize? Do you not understand that you are free? Sin shall not have dominion over you. This evening I want to declare to you, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are free from sin. The peg is gone. The peg is no longer there. It's been crucified, nailed onto the cross. It's just a rope around your ankle. There's nothing holding you back. It doesn't matter what sin you're struggling with. It doesn't matter how bad it is in your life. I declare to you, you do not have to be a slave to that sin. It shall not have dominion over you. There is no pig. It's gone. You know, many Christians are like elephants. You can convince them through Scripture that they are free. They'll even believe that they are free. And then they'll point to this rope. Says, you know, but I still sin. It's still there. I mean, that's still what I do. Yes, that might be true. There might still be a rope around your ankle. But you know what? The peg is gone. In my analogy, look, the rope and the elephant is not in the Bible. I'm just using it as an illustration. But in my analogy, you know what the rope is? It's the temptation. The temptation might still be there, but that does not mean that there is a peg in the ground. Because that's what Christ came to do, to set you free. That's what grace is about. It's not just the forgiveness of sin, but it is the freedom from the power of sin, that we can be free. That is what makes grace so dynamic. You know, the most amazing thing about this all is that you can walk away from that sin in your life. If you are struggling with sin in your life, I can declare to you, you can walk away from it. Because the peg is gone. Christ took it upon himself, not just what you've done, but also the power of sin. Remember when he said he made a public spectacle of them? Disarming them? That's what he did on the cross. The peg is gone in your life. And just like the elephant, that massive big elephant, you can simply walk away. The temptation will still be there. The desire might still be there. But you know what? There's no longer peg in it. And you can walk away from it. You are no longer bound to that sin. And you know what? Some people, some Christians are still struggling with sin in their life. And you know why we're still struggling with sin in our life? Because we do not know. That's what Paul does. He says, do you not know? Do you not realize? Do you not understand that the peg is gone? Therefore, sin will not have dominion over you. You can walk away from it. And now many of us have been struggling with many different kinds of sin. You know, if you struggle with lust and pornography, when you're in it, you feel you cannot get out of it. Because you think even though you try your very best, you cannot get, and it's a lie. The peg is gone. It's just a rope. You don't have to sin. You don't have to submit to it. You can walk away. You must simply accept it, believe it, and act on it. Walk away. It doesn't matter what addiction or what stronghold is in your life. You know what? That's why we do deliverance. All the deliverance is you go to somebody that has a stronghold in their life and you tell them, you know what? The peg is gone. In Jesus' name, be loosed. Walk. Go on. And you tell the demon, hey, there's no pig. Get out of here. You don't have a right here. Ta-ta. It doesn't get more complicated than this. Christ came not just to forgive you, but to set you free. To set you free. Grace does not just speak of the fact that you are forgiven. It also speaks of the fact that you've been set free from the power of sin. And you are free no matter what sin you are struggling with. You must just believe it. That scripture ends with, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law but under grace. You see, some people misunderstand grace. You know what's the difference between the law and grace? The law, as good as it is, could only show me what the peg is. That's what Paul says. You must read Romans. It's a powerful book. It talks about the law. He says, you know, the law was powerless to change me. It can only show me what the peg is, but it couldn't set me free. As a matter of fact, now that I knew what the peg is, I struggled even more to get free from it. And I couldn't get free from it. Because the law didn't have the power to set me free. It could only show me where the peg is. But that's what Christ came to do. That's what grace came to do. It came to set me free from the peg. And that's what God came to do in your life. You might be struggling, and I'm simply saying, do you not know? Do you not realize that pig was crucified with him? You are free. You can walk away. And that's all I want to share this evening. Grace is not just for forgiveness, it's for freedom. Let us stand. Father, I want to thank you, God, for your word, Lord. I want to thank you that it is alive, that it is powerful, God. That as we accept it, believe it, and act on it, God, it has the power, Lord, to change us and to set us free, God. And I want to pray, God, this evening, Lord, and I want to thank you for your love for us. God, that when you saw us, God, stuck, Lord, in our sin and our shame, you gave your Son so that we can be free. Lord, we thank you, God, even though we were captive, Lord, in the consequence of sin, Lord, we thank you, Father, that you came to set us free of everything that holds us back. Lord, we want to give you honor and glory, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that your Son has come to set us free. Lord, thank you, God, that even though we could have forgiveness under the law, we couldn't have freedom. And that's what you came to do for us through your Son. Not just forgiveness, but freedom, God. And we thank you for that, God. And I want to pray for each and every Christian in this house today, Lord, that is still struggling with sin, God. I want to declare to them that they are free in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you that you took that sin, that pig, and it was nailed to the cross, Lord. That old self, that sinful flesh, God, that controlled us, Lord, it is done away with, that we can walk in the newness of life, God. And I pray, Lord, that each and every person in this place will reckon themselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, Lord. And I want to pray, God, that tonight, Lord, for those who are still struggling, God, that their eyes will open, that they will see, God, as they are set free in Jesus' name, God. And I want to pray, Lord, for each and every person, if you are here tonight and you are still struggling with sin, I just want you to respond to God and say, God, here I am, God. There is a pig in my life, and I feel I'm trapped. God, but tonight I want to be free in Jesus' name. If that is you, just raise your hand before God. Just quickly. Father, I want to thank you for each and every hand that comes up tonight, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you say that your sacrifice is sufficient, not just for the things that they've done, but for the power in their life that controls them. It is your children that you want to set free, God. And I thank you for that. And I want to ask you, as the band comes up, I just want you, if you raise your hand, just quickly come forward. We want to pray with you. And all that you're going to do is, you're going to bring that pig before God. It doesn't matter what it is. Nobody will know what it is. I want you just to come before God as you quickly come forward. And I want you to bring that pig. And I want you to confess before God and say, God, I thank you for your Son. And I want to bring this pig once and for all, God. And I want to crucify it with Christ. I want to nail it to that cross. And I ask you, God, to come and cut me free in Jesus' name. Open my eyes that I may see what you have done for me. Quickly come forward. We want to pray with you. Father, we thank you that you have come to set us free. That sin shall not have dominion over us. That we can walk away, Lord, knowing that you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Thank you, God, for this amazing promise that you've given us. Thank you what you've already done through your Son on the cross, God. And tonight, Lord, like in Romans, God, I just want to say, do you not know? Do you not realize? And Lord, tonight, Lord, as we stand before you, God, we want to accept your word, God. We want to thank you for it, God. And I want to ask you as you stand here, just in your own words, just before God, just bring that pig before him. Just bring that sin, that thing that you're struggling with. Just lay it before God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. And I want to bring this sin before you, Lord. And I want to confess. I want to repent. And I want to thank you, God, that I'm free in Christ Jesus. And that I can walk away from this today and never return to it. Because you have set me free in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to quickly do that. For us who are still in the audience, you know what? Sometimes we misunderstand grace. You know, Paul speaks in the next chapter, chapter 7, he speaks about that fact that the things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. And the things that he doesn't want to do, these things he do. And he's so frustrated with himself as he speaks of a man that do not understand. And then he asked this question. I so wish we would all just read the entire book. And then he says, yeah, in chapter 7, verse 24, he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then he gives this answer. He says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that powerful? That even though you struggle, you can be free. You can be free from that sin because of Christ Jesus. And then he continues here in Romans 6, verse 15. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves to obey, you are that one slaves who you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that from of doctrine from which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you've become slaves to righteousness. And I want to encourage you, if you're here tonight, don't be a slave to sin. You've been set free from it. You choose whether you want to be a slave again or you want to serve God. Walk away from that sin. You have the power to do so. Don't be trapped in it, because you are free. I just want to give you an opportunity as you stand and we minister to these people, just to respond in your own heart to what God has done for you. And to make a choice. To make a choice today that you will not be a slave again to sin, but that you will be a slave to righteousness. A slave to God. That you will pursue Him. That you will be led by His Spirit and not by your flesh. Don't be deceived. If you sin and you continue in it, it will lead to death. So walk away from it. Walk away from it, walk to God, and you will experience that life in Jesus' name. Just take some time and make a stand against sin. And as we dismiss this meeting, thank you so much for coming. I want to pray one more prayer and then we're going to do some worship. If you have to go, thank you, you can go. Father, we want to thank you for your love, your faithfulness. God, thank you that we are free in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, that we can serve you and that we are no longer slaves to sin. God, I pray that each and every person, God, will walk away from every sin in their life and that they will pursue you and know that through your Spirit in them, God, they can overcome anything and everything, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that you are greater in us than anything that we face, God. Thank you that you've given us everything for life and godliness, God. And I pray, Father, that our lives will bring glory to you, God, as we overcome sin as you have overcome sin, that we can walk in everything that you've come to establish us. God, I pray that one day when we die, we will have taken hold and applied everything that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Everything, God. I pray, God, as we go in this week, that you will speak to us through your word, God, that you will open our eyes to see what you've given us. And that we will have the faith and the boldness to apply it in our life and have you change us, God, to conform to that truth. I thank you, God, for every heart and every person here, and I pray that you will bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. May God bless you. If there's still need for prayer, if there's anything else that we can pray for, please don't hesitate. Come forward. That's why we're here. There's some coffee, refreshments at the back. We're just going to sing a few songs. If you'd like to remain in His presence, you're more than welcome. Thank you so much. May God bless you.